nice to be back with you again, and it's nice to enter the pulpit having been left at the cross. Love so amazing, so divine, demands my heart, my life, my all. I'd like you to turn with me this morning to the book of Ecclesiastes. David Morris will give you the correct pronunciation when he returns. I can say what I like. He's not here to defend himself. He's a very dear brother who loves the Lord and loves the Word, and he and I have sweet fellowship together. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, and we're going to read from verse 1, and we're going to read down to the end of verse 17. Let me just say before we read, this is one of those passages that many people flip over because they remember some of the words and they think they know what it says. Follow the words. I assure you, this is a tremendous passage of truth. To everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under the heaven. A time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, and a time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to kill, and a time to heal, a time to break down, and a time to build up. Time to weep, time to laugh, a time to mourn, and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones, a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to get, a time to lose, time to keep, and a time to cast away, a time to rend, a time to sow, a time to keep silence, and a time to speak, a time to love, and a time to hate, a time of war, and a time of peace. What profit hath he that worketh in that wherein he laboreth? I have seen the travail which God hath given to the sons of men to be exercised in it. He hath made everything beautiful in his time. Also he hath set the world in their heart, so that no man can find out the work that God maketh, from the beginning to the end. I know that there is no good thing in them, no good in them. But for a man to do good in his life, to rejoice and do good in his life, and also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor, it is the gift of God. I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it. God doeth it, that man should fear before him. That which hath been is now, that which is to be hath already been, and God requireth that which is past. Moreover, I saw under the sun the place of judgment, that wickedness was there, the place of righteousness, that iniquity was there. I said in mine heart, God shall judge the righteous and the wicked, for there is a time there for every purpose and for every work. Let's bow our hearts in a moment's prayer. Our God and Father, we pray that as we turn to Thy Word this morning, that we might not hear the words of man, but that we might be conscious that we hear the very Word of God. We thank Thee for Thy presence to stand amongst us. Father, we pray that the division of this congregation might be upon the lines of eternity, upon those who are saved, trusting in that precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And of those who as yet know not the Savior. Father, for them we pray this morning that Thy gracious hand would be upon them, that Thou wouldst minister to them, and even today by Thy grace, sinners might be brought to the Lord Jesus Christ. So to this end we pray, asking Thy blessing upon us as we gather, in that lovely name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Turn over with me to the book of Psalms 68. And verse 20. He that is our God is the God of salvation, and unto the Lord belong the issues from death. Let me read that to you again. He that is our God is the God of salvation, and unto God the Lord belong the issues from death. Last Sunday morning, the last Sunday morning that I was with you, I spoke to you on three things that belong to God: that righteousness and salvation and judgment belong unto the Lord. I want to speak to you this morning, continuing the theme, and indeed it will be continued this evening, of things that belong to God. And I want to direct your attention very especially this morning to the fact that our time and our eternity belong to God. We live in a world that is very conscious of time, but not very conscious of eternity. They're very conscious of everyday living, and even sometimes conscious that in the midst of life, they see death. But you know, I really want us to focus this morning that our lives are quite literally in the hand of God. Turn over to Isaiah chapter 42. Let me share something with you there. Verse 5, thus saith God the Lord, He that created the heavens and stretched them out, He that spread forth the earth and that which cometh out of it, He that giveth breath unto the people upon it. and spirit to them that walk therein. You know, I was preaching some weeks ago on the book of Daniel, and I was studying in the book of Daniel when Daniel was before Nebuchadnezzar. And if ever there was an opportunity to compromise, it was when Daniel was in the presence of the king and had been given a message by God that God was going to take this great king, and God had made him a great king. And God was going to make him crawl on his hands and knees as the beast of the field. And that God was quite literally going to take from him the spirit of a man and give to him the spirit of a beast. And that God was going to do this to humble the heart of the great king. And Daniel, when he's speaking to Nebuchadnezzar, he says this: in God's hands is your breath. In God's hands is your breath. And I want you to grasp this, that the God of heaven is the God who is in absolute control of determining the days of your life. That to God belongs our time. You know, I realized how many times God says in His Word that one day we're going to stand before Him and we're going to give an account. We're going to give an account of the works that we have done. But of the things that we have done in the body. I want you to grasp this. For today, the world and many of the churches around us, they want a God who's near enough to be helpful when we need Him, but who's distant enough to forget about Him when we don't need Him. That's not the God of the Bible. The God of the Bible is the God who declares that He holds every single moment of your time in His hand. That every single moment of your life belongs to God. Belongs to God. Now, there are several things that are going to flow out of this. If my life belongs to God, then I need to take account of what His Word says about tomorrow. The book of Proverbs in chapter 27 says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Now, I want you to stop just for a moment in your heart and ask yourself, are you really conscious that your time belongs to God? That your death will only come when God closes His hand and allows to you the very last breath? You know, I got to tell you something. When I first began to study this, it became a painful thing. Because I look back in my life over the people that I love, and God has closed their hands, His hands, and death has come. And I deal in my ministry every day of my life with people who are suffering serious diseases, and the only thing they have looming in their future is that they're going to die. But you know, it has come from a very painful thing to a very comforting thing. Oh, I'm so glad. I'm so glad that it is the God of heaven, God the Lord, who makes the decisions that would be too hard for you and I to make. And as He looks down on us this morning, He says, your life is mine. Your time is mine. I hold it in the very palm of my hands. And I want to say this to you. That being true, we ought not to be guilty of boasting about the tomorrows that we may have. We have a lady, and she's known to some of our fellowship here. And about 8 months ago, she was perfectly healthy. And then they found out that she had cancer. And it has been totally downhill from there. Now that she's in the place where the cancer is in about 80% of her liver. They told her just last week that after the next 3 chemotherapies, which are doing very little good, there's nothing they can do. Her husband called me and said, Joe, she's on her way from hospital. Would you come over and try and be here for when she arrives? Bless her heart, she walked in through the door and she looked over at me sitting on the sofa and she said, I'm all right. I'm all right. I said, well, you know, I'm glad to hear you're all right. She said, I'm not going to fight to stay down here in this world. I'm not going to fight what God wants to do. I got to tell you, I was humbled in her presence. You see, there was the consciousness not only of those that she would miss when she went, but there was the consciousness of the fact that she is going to heaven and that when God eventually does close His hand, it'll be absent from the body and present with the Lord. You know, I'd like you to turn over to the book of James, chapter 4. And verse 13. Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year, and buy and sell and get gain, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even as a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. And you know, some people go to those verses and they say, well, that means God says we shouldn't make plans. You know, that's not what the Bible says. Listen to how God explains what He's just said. Verse 15, for that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. You notice what James is saying? There's nothing wrong with making plans. There's nothing wrong with going about the ordinary affairs of life in an organized manner, that you know where you're going and you know what your plans are to do. But the one thing that must be the essence, if the Lord will. If the Lord will. Oh, how many people have taken tomorrow for granted. I was in Raleigh 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, Saturday evening. Commented to my wife that the traffic was lighter than I've seen for a long, long time, and I'd no sooner said it than we began to get into a huge traffic jam. And then we realized there'd been a car wreck in front. We got home, we put on the news, and we found that a man had crossed the median and hit a mother and daughter and two little children head on who were coming the opposite direction. The two little children were alive. The mother and daughter were dead. And my wife looked at me and said, their plans were to go to Raleigh, but they didn't arrive. And I want to tell you this morning. We have got to learn that this isn't life dealing us a bad hand. This isn't a reason for us to sit down and give. This is the God who holds our time in His hand. This is the God, and I thank Him for this truth, who never, ever makes a mistake. Never. But if our times are in God's hands, and we ought not to boast of tomorrow, our times being in God's hands mean that we ought to prepare for eternity. You see, the question is not how we die. The question is, where do we go after we die? Did you notice the wording of Psalm 68:20? I confess to you, I had never seen it before. The last part of the verse says, God the Lord belong the issues of death? No. Unto God the Lord belong the issues from death. From death. And our time being in God's hands, and every day being a gift of His grace, we ought to make sure we are prepared for eternity. We ought to make sure that we know what's going to happen after death. Isn't it strange that so many plans are made for life, and so few find it necessary to prepare for eternity? To take seriously the fact that death can come at any moment, and when death comes, eternity begins. You know, I was thinking of Felix, the governor of Rome, and Paul sitting before him
The Word of God tells us in Acts chapter 24 that
Paul reasoned with him. He argued with him. That's literally what it means. He argued with him. What did he argue with him about? He reasoned with him of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come. You know what the Bible says? Felix, that great politician, that great military leader, trembled. He trembled. And then he did this. He turned to the Apostle Paul and he said, "Go thy way. When I have a more convenient season, when it fits better into my plans, I'll call you, Paul, and you and I can talk of these things again." You know what he did? He procrastinated. He put off to another time what he should have dealt with that very moment. He put the most important decision he would ever make, he put it aside until a more convenient time. You know the tragedy of Acts 24 is that I never read that a more convenient time ever came. I never read that Felix ever called the Apostle Paul and said, "Paul, I'm ready to get ready for eternity. I'm ready to make sure I don't stand under the judgment of God that is to come." You know what's worse than Felix trembling at the Word of God and putting it off? It's the thought of someone attending Faith Bible Chapel. Week by week by week, from the earliest days of their lives, hearing the Word of God faithfully proclaimed. And not being ready for eternity. Thinking that sometime in the future they can dictate to God that they're going to get saved. Forgetting that the God whom they reject is the God who holds their time and their eternity in His hands. You see, if God holds my time in His hands, then the time of my death is set. It's told of a man leaving church one Sunday morning, and he thought he'd have a go with the preacher. He looked at the preacher standing at the door, and as he shook his hand, he said, "Preacher, when's the best time to get saved?" While he was holding his hand, the preacher looked into his eyes and he said, "5 minutes before you die." The man chuckled to himself and chuckled at the preacher's answer and walked out through the door of the church and stopped. And he turned and he walked back into the church and he said, "Preacher, I don't know when I'm going to die." The preacher looked at his watch and said, "Your 5 minutes may be nearly up then, mightn't it?" See, this is real. Our problem in the churches of this day and age in which we live is we see death all around us all the time, but we shut out eternity. we shut out that in the hands of God are the issues from death. Where am I going to spend the lifetime of God that I will live? You may be a young man or young woman in this meeting this morning, and you're sitting in your seat and you're saying, there you go again, preacher, you're talking about death, and I've got 70 years to live. Well, I don't know who gives you that guarantee, but I'm going to tell you, that guarantee isn't worth writing on paper. The God of eternity knows your heart. He doesn't take a whole lot of consequence in what you profess with your lips. Jesus one day looked at the religious people around him and he said, this people worships me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. If God holds my time and my eternity in his hands, and God could close his hand at any moment on my life, don't you think wisdom would tell you it's time to get right with God? God not only knows your heart, the Word of God tells me, Paul writing to the young man Timothy says, the Lord knoweth them that are his. Are you his this morning? My soul has found a resting place, not in device nor creed. I trust the ever-living one, his wounds for me to plead. You know that that's everything I have for eternity. That's everything that's needed for salvation. That what Jesus Christ did on that center cross was all God required so that I might be saved today and that I might be saved for eternity. That's all God requires. And the God of heaven, who holds our time and our eternity in his hands, he looked down on this gathering this morning and he said, I know those who are mine. You know what the word hypocrite means? A person who wears a mask. A person who wears a mask. It comes from drama. It comes from putting on a mask and pretending to be someone that you're not. And the God of heaven who holds us in his hand, he looks down this morning and young and old, he says, I know those who are living behind a mask. And I know those who are mine. God will make no mistakes for time. And God will make no mistakes for eternity. There won't be one person in heaven who didn't deserve to be there. I want you to listen to that again. There won't be one person in heaven who didn't deserve to be there. If you don't believe that, you go over to Revelation chapter 5 and every person that's in heaven will tell you why they deserve to be there. Because Jesus Christ was slain and he washed them from their sins in his own blood. That's why they're in heaven. No other reason, no other way. I've been told it again recently. My message is too narrow. If I would only open up the gospel message a little bit further, we could embrace a whole lot more people. And I hear again the words of Jesus. Broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. Many there be that go in thereat. But straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leads unto life. And few there be that find it. You know, I've learned a long, long time ago, my Savior is rarely to be found in the midst of the crowd. My Savior is rarely in the place of popularity. To know Jesus Christ as your Savior sets you out as an enemy of hell, sets you out as an enemy of this world, and a friend of God. Beloved, if these things are so, and let me quickly add they are, that your time is in the hand of God, and that your eternity is between you and God, let me give you some advice. Again, it comes from the book of Psalms, Psalm 2. Let me just tell you a little story about the second Psalm. 20-some years ago, I worked in a little church outside London, and many of the people who came were students at London University. They came and they had this attitude that they had found something new. They had found rebellion against God. They came to the meeting one Friday night, and we started talking, and as the Lord had arranged it, I was preaching on the second Psalm, and I showed them how what they found was nothing anything new. That rebellion against God goes back to the beginning, and David writes about it in the second Psalm, how they reject God and how they stand out openly and speak against God and against His anointed Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. But I want you to take home with you the very last verse. Kiss the Son, lest He be angry and ye perish from the way, when His wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in Him. You know what kiss the Son means? It means turn from your own ideas. It means turn from your sin. It means make sure that your eternity and your time are for God. And it means embrace the Savior while you are able. You know what God says about seeking Him? He says, and you shall seek me and find me when you shall seek for me with all your heart. I know a lot of people who are very half-hearted about their relationship with God. My Bible tells me that God holds your time and God holds your eternity in His hands. Our sister sang to us about the cross. See from His head, His hands, His feet, sorrow and love flow mingled down. Did e'er such love and sorrow meet, or thorns compose so rich a crown? Why was he there? So that you might be saved. So that you might turn from your sin. So that you might embrace the Lord Jesus as your Savior. So that you might put your faith, your trust in Him for all eternity. You see, unto God, the Lord, belong not only the issues of life. Isn't that a beautiful passage in Ecclesiastes chapter 3? God tells us of all the things we make time for. Go home and read it again. And underline in your Bible the words that say, God requireth the things that are past. And underline in your Bible, but more important in your heart, when the writer of the book of Ecclesiastes says, for I know that God will judge the righteous, and that God will judge the wicked. I know. Bow our hearts in prayer together. Just before I close the meeting in prayer, it may be that you're in this meeting this morning and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, or maybe you're not sure. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. I'm not going to ask you to get up from your seat and walk forward. I am going to ask you to talk with me. I'll be standing at the door. Please, settle this thing today. Get right with God. Make sure not only your time is going to be blessed, but make sure your eternity is settled. When's the best time to get saved? Right now. Right this very moment, because you're not guaranteed another moment. I'll be at the door. There are others here who can help you. Please talk to us. Give us the opportunity of showing you from the Word of God how you can be saved for time and how you can be saved for eternity. Our Father, we bow in your presence today. First of all, we thank you for your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you that he was willing to become obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. That he was willing to die, that sinners like I might live for eternity. Father, I pray today for everyone in this meeting, that they would know before they leave this place today that you know that they're yours. That they know that they're yours. We pray that you would bless your word, and that it would be to the praise, to the honor, and to the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.